If you have whole life insurance and your agent didn't mention anything about paid-up additions riders, maybe you should call them up and ask them why. Because you're leaving the living benefits of whole life insurance on the table.
Here's what you'll learn in the next 30 minutes. How a whole life policy can be designed to build cash value from the first month. At the end, we're going to reveal to you the most important decision that you'll make when beginning your IBC journey. So stay tuned.
We're going to break down base premium versus PUA premium, explain why properly and optimally funding a policy is important, and explain the difference between a traditional design and an Infinite Banking Concepts design policy. The difference will blow your mind.
And here's what you'll miss. Skip this episode. You'll keep funding policies in a suboptimal way, and you'll wait years to access meaningful cash value when you could have had it in the first month.
This is technical, but it's a critical topic if you truly want to understand how your policy works. Because while your behavior matters the most, policy design matters too. Let's get into it. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. Well, the weather's finally warming up here. And as soon as it warms up, I get allergies. So if I sound a little stuffed up, that's why. Sorry about that. But whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, but you figured something out, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. New breathing technique or a little breathing device. Yeah. I heard Joe Rogan talk about it. I tried it. A little nasal dilator. And yeah. I like it. It works.
Soaked.
I think it's called Air Max.
Soaked in ivermectin.
Dip it in ivermectin. Put it in your nose. We are not doctors. This is not medical advice.
That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's truly like deep into spring here now. Like all the trees are filled with leaves now. Everyone's grass is super green. Although I think
you're
the grass
so lucky, man. It's still brown here.
Yeah.
We got
Yeah, we fired up the big boat, fired up the classic cars, did some work on those. Everything's ready to rock. So it's I'm looking forward to just the pool being warmer than 70 because it's 70 and that's you can go in it, but it's cold.
It's brisk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Well, I think me and the boys may be coming out to visit you this summer.
So yeah, man.
I'll talk about the plan there, but it may be like that July 4th week that we'll be on the road and
or like right
we'll
before
be able
the
to
trip.
Stop by. Yeah, right before the trip. So I'm basically taking all July off.
All right.
Yeah.
Come on down.
I will. Well, all right, man. Well, let's get into this. This isn't one of those technical episodes, and it's not like the most sexy discussion in the world, but it's really important for anybody who's practicing infinite banking, anybody who maybe wants to start on that journey. Like, you need to understand some basics. Like, we always talk all the time, it's about the process, not the product. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the product, and that's okay because it is important that you understand this product that you have control and ownership of when you implement the infinite banking concept in your life. So we'll talk about two main components of premium. You got base premium, you got paid up additions premium. So first, base premium. To us, that's the foundation. That's the foundation of your policy. You got to build a solid foundation on which to grow everything else. And the growth would be those PUA premiums coming in after and the dividends, et cetera. But base policy, what that does is it purchases your face value, the face value death benefit of the policy. So the higher the base, the more permanent death benefit you're purchasing. And these policies, depending on the type of policy you get, that base premium is a required premium payment for the life of the policy, whether that's a 10 pay, 20 pay, or pay to age 100 or anything in between. I don't know that many, maybe some go to age 120 now. I don't know.
There's a few. Yeah, there's a few companies would pay to 121. Yep.
Right. So, but that base policy is something you need to pay. It's kind of like, you know, the mortgage on your house. It's like paying off the principal mortgage of your home. You're paying a little bit up until, you know, if it's a 20 pay, that means after 20 years, you've completely paid up that face value. You own it completely, 100% of it, right? You have 100% equity in that. Up until you are no longer required to make that base premium, it means you don't yet own 100% of it. Now, the good thing is if you die before you get that all paid off, your family gets it all. But while you're alive, once you paid it all off, you have access to all of that in cash value. That's your equity in the face value. And it's really what we also call the minimum required premium. It's just your base premium. So, you know, the PUAs aren't required. The base is. So there's a lot of flexibility in these. And that's also, you know, it's your minimum, and then you got your ceiling, your maximum, which is where PUAs come in. Now, with base premium also, there's not a whole lot of early cash value created. It takes a number of years for that cash value or that equity to be realized and show up so that you can actually start accessing it to finance the things of life, like Nelson says in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker. And this is how most traditional whole life insurance policies are built, right? They're 100% base premium, which means in the first few years, you have zero cash value. Takes a number of years. Eventually, they're going to be great, but it's early on that they, you know, there's no living benefits early for a number of years. But that's why we also include in the infinite banking concept design policies a paid up addition. So, Paul, why don't you enlighten us on what PUAs are?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to get into there's an important distinction here between the terms, you know, base premium. I will tell you this, when I owned non-participating or non-dividend paying whole life, I never heard that term. It was just the premium is.
Right.
Right. Yep. So we use that term in the infinite banking concept space because we're using mutual life insurance companies that offer dividend paying whole life insurance policies, which can have a base premium component and a paid up additions component as well. So we're going to talk about that probably a little bit later, but I just wanted to plug that real quick just so it's clear for folks. Okay, so paid up additions. So first and foremost, it's all premium, whether it's base premium or paid up additions. It's all premium, right? It's not, you know, this money's going to some separate account in your policy. That's not how it works. It's all premium going to the life insurance company, right? It's just in a different form. So while Dave just covered that base premium and how that purchases the initial face amount of death benefit, paid up additions also purchase death benefit, but instead of being, you know, purchasing death benefit over a longer duration, like a 10, 20, 40 year, 50 year period, paid up addition premium, you make one payment. Let's say it's a $10,000 paid up addition payment, and that might purchase you $1,000 of additional life insurance coverage that's bought and paid for. So imagine you're going to the coffee shop and you hand the barista $5 for your whatever people drink, I don't know, latte or something, right? That latte, you now, it is bought and paid for. As far as the barista is concerned, you made your obligation. That drink is now yours, right? So
you own
likewise,
it.
You own it. Likewise, for paid up additions premium, the death benefit that purchased for you is bought and paid for with that one $10,000 paid up additions premium payment. So that's why, you know, this is a little nuance here, but probably a little too technical for most people, but that's why the cash value rises very quickly relative to the premium paid with paid up additions premium. So in the infinite banking concept space, we use a typical dividend paying whole life insurance policy that might be paid a 75, paid a 95, and we add a paid up additions rider. The majority of the paid up additions premium, like I said, buys a little bit of death benefit, but gives you immediate access to almost every single dollar you paid as cash value, meaning that's money that you can borrow against from the policy or against the policy. So like your base premium, your paid up additions premium dollars are going to earn dividends as well. So that's going to add more cash value to your policy, more death benefit to your policy, because we're going to use those dividends to buy additional paid up insurance. So Dave, did I miss anything? I don't want to, you know, get too into the weeds. It's very, you know, kind of broad strokes here, but I think the kicker is I owned whole life insurance since 2003. I owned 10 policies. I never heard the term paid up additions or PUA before I got into the infinite banking concept in 2018. So here I was with 10 whole life policies, had never used them for banking purposes, had never borrowed against them, and I'd never heard the term of paid up additions. Why? Because the agents that were selling me my life insurance were captive agents. And they only sold the products that they were authorized to sell. None of them were participating or dividend paying life policies. So,
right.
Knowledge
is power. And I know people who have the traditional whole life policies, you know, 100% base, no PUA, and they've had them for 15, 20 years, and they might have $60,000 or $80,000 of cash value in there. They didn't even know. I said, I was talking to one guy I worked with, hey, show me your policy. He showed, I was like, you got $65,000 of cash value. You can borrow against that. Did you know that? He had no idea. No clue.
Most people that own life insurance in any form, term, universal, whole life, they take that booklet there, the policy itself, the contract, and they stick it in the junk drawer. Ours is in a nice binder and it's organized. But most people that are like, I don't know what I have. I've got whole life, universal. They have no idea. It's weird running into that. It's like, you're an adult with children. Like, you should know what financial assets you have and where your gaps are. So keep that in mind. If you've got it, go dust it off and take a look at it. Actually read the contract that you signed. And you'll be surprised. But check for that PUA rider.
Yeah, it's maybe probably not there. But yeah, because most people purchase whole life insurance, if they purchase whole life, for the death benefit, because that's how it's presented to them, and that's all they know of it. The infinite banking concept philosophy is completely different. Yes, there's death benefit, of course, and that's the engine that makes everything else run and gives you the ability to accrue cash value and all of that. The difference is, we want this policy for the living benefits. Everybody wants what whole life insurance provides. They just don't want whole life insurance, because you have some thought in your mind about what this is. Well, there's living benefits. And if you don't have the policy designed correctly, those living benefits take a long time to come to reality. With the way we design the policies, we design those with living benefits in mind from day one, so that you have access to that, so you can start taking over the financing of the things of life through your own system here, instead of waiting several years to do that. So the goal here is really to optimize that balance between cash value growth and death benefit. We're not, I'm fairly agnostic when it comes to, if you want to focus on death benefit, great, let's do that. But let's also build in some flexibility in your premium and the ability to grow some cash value early on, because you may need it. Or if you're somebody who says, I only care about cash value, I'm going to challenge you on that too, because the death benefit's important. Like, what's your human life value? How many dependents do you have? If you walk out, do you want their way of life to stop and all the plans you had for them to stop, or do you want them to continue? Well, if you want them to continue, which you most certainly do if you love your family, you need an appropriate amount of death benefit. So it's really just a proper mix of death benefit and cash value in the design. That's really what it comes down to, is the optimal balancing of the two. So people always say, well, where's the catch, or what if I want more cash? What happens? Well, there's no free lunches and there's no deals in life insurance. That's just the way it is. There's no deals in life insurance. At a fixed premium, you choose the premium. You can adjust the cash value up, but you're going to adjust the death benefit down, or vice versa. If you want more death benefit, it's going to mean less cash value early on. So they're just different levers you pull. They act in opposite of each other, but it is what it is. If you want more cash value, more death benefit, you just need more premium.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of noise out there, and I don't want to get caught up in it, because people think there's one way to design a policy with one or two specific companies. And of course, that's not true. These people should try owning life insurance contracts from other, I would say companies that are, how do I say this? Infinite banking concept friendly, where they've designed their offerings around the concept, actually. And there's a bunch of them, right? And they all have different, different design features that you can do this with PUA and do this with whatever. And we have our favorite company, I would say, our first stop, because we like the way and the flexibility of what we can do with policy design. So I'll tell you this, there's no reason to compromise the overall design of a life insurance contract just because you want instant liquidity. You can have both a policy that's structured for the long duration with a proper base and PUA ratio and a lot of liquidity all at the same time in the same policy. So just keep that in mind. We'll talk about later about agent selection and company selection maybe, but it's very important, because you don't know what you don't know. We know, and other people may know, but you don't. You're new, right? Well, keep that in mind. Knowledge is power. Do your research. There's more than one way to design a policy, and it's not what some people might say.
Because really, most whole life policies are designed for the death benefit. We saw for the living benefits. And if you saw for the living benefits from the outset, you get both. Because guess what? It comes with a death benefit anyway. But as Nelson said, if you solve for the living benefits, or for the ability to finance the things of life, you're going to end up with more death benefit than the company will even allow you to have.
That's right.
That's just a natural result of following this concept and over time and expanding it and just building your system out over time.
Yeah, ridiculously simple. Finance the things of life and you'll end up with a crap load of life insurance if you do it through the infinite banking concept way.
Very simple. That's it.
So Dave, we get this question a lot, but if paid up additions, right, or PUAs are so powerful, why don't I just stick 100% of my premium dollars that I have available to pay in premium in PUA riders?
Yeah, right. Valid question when you're starting out and you don't really understand. The reason is, I mean, there's limitations there. The PUA is limited really by the amount of base you can put in. So without a base, without a foundation, you can't build anything on top of it. So there's also what is called, the IRS has called this the Modified Endowment Contract, or the MEC, as we refer to it here. We're not going to go into major detail about that, but the MEC is essentially a line in the sand that the IRS draws and says, if you want to pay this much in premium, you have to have at least this much in death benefit, or else we're going to treat that like an investment. So really what it comes down to is the IRS saying you cannot treat life insurance like an investment. And if you do, we will treat it and tax it like an investment. So when you're working with somebody, which is so why it's so important to work with the right person, they got to be able to design this to eliminate the possibility of this policy crossing that MEC line and you losing all the tax advantages that you would currently hold.
Well said. Yeah. Unless you're in the business of tipping the government, and then have at it.
Yeah, I don't think we have a single client who is in that business or wants to be.
Sign me up for more.
Yeah. No, certainly not. No, I think that's good. There's a little bit of history that you can read about the MEC and Ralph Nader and back in the 80s. And it's just completely unnecessary. But, you know, obviously the government will try to kill a good thing, right? They always do. That's what they tried to do. But the companies adjusted, and that's what birthed the paid-up additions rider. That was the result of all those tax law changes in the 90s, was the paid-up additions rider.
Well, and so the next obvious question is, well, what if tax laws change in the future? And, you know, the good thing about whole life insurance is it predates the tax code. It's way older than the tax code. So it works in lieu of taxes, not because of some tax loophole that people may.
Right. Unlike the 401k, it wasn't, which is an invention of the tax code, the invention of government. Life
and
insurance.
It's titled because the title, that's where it's at, right, in the tax code.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
Life insurance is 7702, in case you want to look.
Yeah.
But yeah, in case you yeah it's not an invention of the tax code.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about dividends and the acceleration, like the uninterrupted compounding that we always talk about. So how dividends work within the policy.
So if I look at these old like policies that don't have dividends that my kids have, it takes so long, like 25 years, for the cumulative premium and the cash value available that I could leverage to match. I was just looking. I was like, oh man, that's really not good. So I might actually agree with Dave, although it's got a death benefit, right? It has a function and we bought it for that. But I might have to agree with him that
agree with
a
who?
Better way to. Dave Ramsey.
You better whisper that one.
Yeah. Well, I kind of did. Like, I hated those. You know, we've kept those, but we got rid of the rest of them. I hated it, but I wasn't aware of anything else different, you know, dividend paying whole life. I wasn't aware of really of controlling the banking function. That wasn't a mindset. So the mindset shift is important. But anyway, but I would say with the paid up additions rider, whole life insurance goes from being pretty good to being an absolute financial monster. It's phenomenal. It is my favorite place to put money. I pay a ton of life insurance premium relative to my overall household income every single year, and the results speak for themselves. I am ready for opportunity. I'm prepared for emergencies. And it's just, it's a, like we've said it before, it's a comfortable and kind of peaceful way to live, because cash is king, right? And I, you know, it's enhanced because where am I residing in whole life insurance contracts is a superior place to warehouse cash.
Yep.
Dividends aren't guaranteed though, right?
No, they're not. But we work with companies that have paid dividends for well over 100 years without missing a beat. Whether it's not, you know, a company that goes back, you know, to the 1800s, 1905.
everything in between. So these companies are all well over 100 years old and have a perfect track record when it comes to dividend history. But it's not like a stock dividend. It's important to realize that the IRS characterizes a whole life insurance dividend as essentially a return of excess premium, which means it's not taxed when used to buy paid up additions, right? So anything below the basis won't be taxed either, but that's a different conversation. But the dividend is not taxed. We use in our policy designs the dividend to buy more life insurance for ourselves, right? That makes our death benefit go up, obviously, which also makes the cash value go up, as we discussed earlier with the paid up additions rider. So the dividend is buying paid up additional insurance for us. So in essence, it's kind of like free premium, right? So it's an additional source of premium other than my labor and, you know, the money I pay out of pocket for premium.
So you're saying every year you're going to get a dividend. Like you said, it's not guaranteed, but it's happened for over 100 straight years. Pretty good chance it'll continue to happen. So you pay the same premium every year, and then you get a dividend that gets bigger every year that is also premium. So every year you're paying more premium, which gives you what?
More death benefit, more cash value, access to capital. And I would say this, like more broadly, is this the opportunity, the more capital that you have available, the better and better the opportunities that are presenting themselves become.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's all without involvement of the government. This is all accessible without tax. I can do policy loans forever, repay the policy loans, take more policy loans out, repay the policy loans. Meanwhile, the policy's taking dividends. It's growing. I'm paying my premium. It's growing. I'm repaying loans. And it just becomes this perpetual, you know, this revolving door of money, except the door gets bigger and bigger and it starts spinning faster and faster every single year that goes by.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it except just pay your premiums and it will get better every single year.
Yeah, like an airplane flying to the destination. It's going to get, the performance of that jet is going to get better regardless of what you do. It's going to get lighter because it's burning, you know, umpteen thousand gallons of gas every whatever.
Right.
A lot of gas.
Yep.
Big, beautiful planes.
Huge.
Huge. Beautiful.
So again, speaking of the IRS, again, they classify dividends as simply a return of premium. Basically, like you overpaid your premium, which is, you know, the big Dave Ramsey rebuttal. Well, dividends are, they're only giving you back what you overpaid in the first place. Well, if that's the case, then why are my dividends going to exceed my premium at some point in my policy? In fact, a lot of times around year 10 or 11, the dividends are estimated to crank out more premium than my base premium requires.
So right. it matches your base premium essentially. So
and then
it's, like
exceeds.
It's almost like a match.
And then exceeds it. Yeah. And then it exceeds my entire premium at some point. So it's great that the IRS classifies it like that because that's why it's not taxable.
Yeah, that's good. He thinks it's like, oh, I gotcha. But it's.
No, it's a good thing. You pointed out a very good thing. You're not taxed on dividends, even though those dividends are going to far exceed your premium payment later on down the years in your policy.
Yeah. So. Just to unpack what Dave said, right, is let's say your premium is $25,000 a year. At some point at year 10, year 11, and let's say $25,000 was your base premium, that means your dividend being credited to your policy in that year is going to be $25,000.
And of course, this all depends on which company, what product you use. Yeah. There's different, like, you know,
broadly
this
speaking.
Isn't carte blanche, broadly speaking. Yeah. But that's how powerful the dividends become. Because they get bigger every year. That uninterrupted compound growth of your cash value, your death benefits growing. The longer you're with the company, the bigger dividend you get. It just gets better every year.
Yeah. And I would say just that's a great feature because a lot of the questions that we'll get, Dave, is, well, what happens, you know, 13 years down the road and I can't, you know, something goes wrong and I can't afford the premium anymore or whatever. It's a simple conversation. We have built this base now of cash value, and we've got some momentum. And now we just call up the company and say, "Hey, redirect Joe Smith's dividend pays the base premium for him," and they'll be like, "Okay,
yep,
no problem."
Yeah, even better. Joe Smith can call himself and say, "I don't want to pay this premium anymore. Can you make my dividend pay the premium? Oh, you got it, Mr. Smith. Done.
Even better.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the things, the way we design these policies is that dividend is going to be used to automatically purchase more paid up additions, which means dollar for dollar, that dividend shows up in your cash value. And you bought more death benefit with that every single year. And this is a good thing for you, the policyholder, and it's a good thing for the company. It's like their interests coincide. Because I think that's why a lot of, like, these policies are automatically designed. If you make no other selection, the dividend's going to purchase more PUA. So obviously, it's a good thing for the company if that's an automatic selection.
Yeah, it
but
is,
it's also the default, best thing. Yeah, it's the default election. It's the best thing for you, too, as a policyholder.
Yeah, it's almost as if the concept of mutuality and ownership matters.
It's almost like you're partners in the company. Which, as a matter of fact, you are, because you're a part owner of the company. So the decisions the company makes that are good for the company should also be good for the owners of the company. They coincide. So it's a really great thing to be a part of, that mutual relationship.
And that's not something that we can show you on an illustration. I can't show you, you know, and convince you that the idea of mutuality and ownership, you know, it's a great thing. But once you really, you know, you get into this a little bit and you start reading and just start thinking about it. Yeah. You know, ownership matters, right? The owners of these sports teams, right? They make all the money. Players are doing great, no doubt. But
yeah,
owners are doing really good.
Yeah, they are. So it's good to be an owner. Why would you not want to be an owner if you have the chance to be an owner? So there's other things you can do with your dividend, which, you know, briefly, you can have them mail you a check for that dividend, and that's just tax-free income up until you exceed how much money you paid in premiums. It's all tax-free. You can let the company keep it and just accrue interest on it, or you can use it to repay loans. And like we already mentioned, you can use it to pay your premium for you. So a lot of different options you have there. But the most optimal, when we're talking infinite banking concept, is to use those dividends to automatically purchase more paid-up additions. That's it. And that's how we design the policies. You want to talk dividend rate and why that doesn't, like, don't get confused and it doesn't really matter. All right, well, we're going to cut this episode right here because this one went pretty long, and we'll pick up with the second half next week.
Also, go check out in the show notes the link to our website, thewealthwarehousepodcast.com. We've got a bunch of great resources on there. You can watch Dave's little video that's very handy. And do not schedule a call with us unless you've read Nelson's book, which, if you're watching us on YouTube, it's right there. So read Becoming Your Own Banker, maybe some other books in IBC. Schedule a call with us. We'd be more than happy to talk with you.
Absolutely. And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.